Open up to the book of Titus as the kids go to children's church. Titus chapter 3. The Apostle Paul is setting in order some things at the churches in Crete by the way of Pastor Titus. And he is encouraging holy living. Holy living. What is holy living? Holy living is trusting God. Holy living is believing God. You see, that's where obedience is produced. Obedience is not produced by first obeying God. Obedience is not produced in any other way except for believing and trusting God. See, if you believe God, if you trust God, then you're going to be obedient. We're going to be obedient in our daily walk with Jesus by believing He's going to do what He says He's going to do. By trusting that He will watch over us, that the Holy Spirit Himself will lead, guide, and direct us from day to day. If we trust in that, if our faith is put in that right there, then obedience will be produced from believing and trusting God. You see, I believe a lot of people have it just backwards. They try so hard to be good. They try so hard to be obedient. They try so hard to abide by the golden rule, so to speak. But they leave the trusting and the believing behind. They think if they can muster up enough faith to be obedient, then that will show that they trust. That will show that they believe. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it's just the opposite. When you trust, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He didn't say keep my commandments to show that you do love me, but that if you love me, notice that love was first. If you abide in Jesus, then obedience is simple. It comes naturally from abiding in Jesus. Fruits will be displayed. Titus chapter 3, starting in verse 1. And I'm going to ask those who are physically able, would you please stand in the honor of the reading of God's holy word. The Bible says, Titus 3, verse 1, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Let us pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You for Your admonishment. We thank You for Your encouragement. We thank You, Lord, for Your speaking to us in a way that is firm, but also gentle. And God, I pray that as we hear from heaven today, as we hear from the very mouth of God, You, Father, that we would know that we've been in the presence of the Holy One, that we've been in Your presence today, and Father, that You would pierce our hearts, that You would bring to our minds the very obedient act that we need to follow in this hour. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, amen, and you may be seated. The Apostle Paul shares the characteristics in which a Christian, a believer, should display, and he does it in three different ways here. First, he shares with the believers there on Crete how they should act toward the rulers, the ones that have the authority over them. Look in verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work." In other words, the Apostle Paul says that a Christian should obey the rules of those in charge. You know, I think about our presidencies in the last decade or two. And in those presidencies, we have more than likely had people in office that we did not agree with. And everybody here could probably say amen to that. But here's the thing the Apostle Paul shares with the believers. He's sharing with us. God is telling me and you this word because His word is eternal. It's everlasting. So this is what he's saying this morning. Whether we like the person, whether we agree with the person or not, we should be subject, we should come up underneath their authority. And the reason why he's sharing this with us today is because that is our testimony to the ones that are in authority. That is our witness to those who have the principalities and the powers. When we don't like or we do not agree with someone in power, that doesn't mean we can dislike their thoughts, their rules. But we, of all people, Christians, should obey those even more than the ones who are not, the unbelievers, because it's a testimony to who we are in Christ. Now let me give you an example. Let me make a statement first. When we are subject to the authorities, we are subject to God. Because that's what God tells us to do. This is a point of trusting and believing God. You know what? We may not agree with some of the authorities in our life, but when we're subject to them, God tells us to be subject to them, we're trusting in Him and we're letting Him handle the rest. So when we are subject to those rulers, those in higher offices, those who are over us, even in the workplace, then we are trusting and obeying God in what He says. We're subject to God Himself. Now here's an example. Honor your father and your mother. Why? Because they're such nice people? They may be. Why? It's not conditional. It's not based on who they are to you, but it's based on what God has told us. We honor our parents unconditionally. And when we honor our parents, who do we honor? Somebody say God. That's right. When we honor our parents, we honor God. There's another people that we are to testify to be a witness in front of as Christians, as believers. And this is the general population. When the Apostle Paul explains this to Titus in verse 2, he includes all people. Look at verse 2. He says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. And then in verse 2 he says, to speak evil of no one. Uh-oh. Speak evil of no one. To be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to some men, all men. All men. Why is that? Now keep in mind we're talking about holy living. And holy living comes from trusting and believing God. He says, speak evil of no one. So what do we see here? Not only are we to be a testimony and a witness for those in a higher authorities and in the higher ups, but we're supposed to be a testimony and a witness for one another, for our fellow co-worker who may be an unbeliever, who does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We don't talk about them. And especially, we don't talk about someone else with them. Hello. Am I getting close? I'm getting close to you now, ain't I? What does that tell that person who is an unbeliever when a person who professes to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior is talking evil about someone else with the unbeliever? What's the chances of that person coming to Christ? Slim to none. Slim to none. This is the whole purpose of our salvation, our sanctification process. This is why we were justified, so that others who we rub elbows with each and every day may be justified before it's eternally too late. But if we're carrying on conversations with them that are ungodly, that speak evil of another person, then we're blowing our testimony. I personally know how that is. You see, God's not just talking to you, He's talking to me too. This is what I've done. I've had to go to that person and apologize to them. Hey, how do you rectify that, Brother Dale? The words have already spilled out of my mouth. I can't take them back. But you can do something about it. This is what I did. Apologize to that person. Say, you know what? There were some things I said, and they were not right. I shouldn't have said those things. And I need to apologize to you because I'm supposed to be set apart. I'm supposed to be setting an example for you. And God has convicted me, and He wants me to come and tell you that I'm sorry. And I want you to go with me to this other person, and I'm going to apologize in front of you for talking evil about this person. That's how you rectify the situation. I'm going to tell you something too. It speaks volumes. Not only that, it shows that you are trusting God to do a work that only He can do. Look at what the Bible says. It says, showing all humility. That's humility. Showing all humility to all men. A person would have to humble themselves to apologize to an unbeliever for talking to them about another person. When we do that, God opens the door for a powerful testimony and a witness. Not only to that unbeliever, but the person that you were speaking about. I'm going to tell you something. It's hard to do. It's hard. We're prideful by nature, sin nature. And it's hard to do. I'm not going to apologize to that guy. It's hard. But the Bible says, showing all humility to all men. So He reminds them. He puts in their remembrance to be subjected to rulers and authorities, to be a testimony, to live holy before them and to live holy before one another in the workplace and out in the recreation place. And then look at verse 3. There's something else He reminds the believers. You remember how you were before you got saved? I remember how I was. I don't like looking back there. It's nasty. It's terrible. It's evil. Verse 3 says, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." The Apostle Paul, he says, you remember how you were before you got saved? Now, he gives us a list here. This doesn't necessarily mean that every Christian has experienced each one of these things in their past. But what he's saying here is, this is what characterizes an unbeliever. This is what characterizes an unbeliever. if you want to know how man is, man and woman, what they have become after the fall, we can just go to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, the Bible, the Holy Scripture tells us who we are. If we ever want to find out what kind of person we were without Jesus Christ, then all we have to do is go to the book of Romans. In Romans 3, in verse 10, the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of apes is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." The Bible goes on and on. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." You remember how we were before we met Christ? I remember how I was. And I tell you something, I don't want the unbeliever seeing that person. I want the unbeliever to see who I am now in Jesus Christ. Holy living. Holy living. Verse 4, the Bible says, "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." Friend, I'm going to tell you something. By God's love, by His kindness, by His mercy, by His grace, He has done for us what the unbeliever needs done to them. And it is our testimony and our witness to those people that will often determine the choices they make. I've heard it all too often in the ministry in which God has placed me. I've heard it all too often, people saying, "If that's what a Christian is like, I don't want to be one." And I've heard those words come out of an unbeliever's mouth. Oh God, help us. He poured out the Spirit Himself because of His grace, because of His mercy. We are regenerated and we have been renewed by the washing of the Holy Spirit Himself. We have been justified by His grace. And friend, it is because of that, verse 7 says, His grace, that we've been justified, that we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I'm going to tell you something, there's a hope. And in that hope, there's a peace. the peace that we experience is that assurance that when this life is over here on earth, it will continue in the bosom of our Heavenly Father. That ought to make a dead Baptist shout. Amen. Hope. Faith. And love. We have right now. But when we pass into the Father's bosom, hope and faith, we won't need anymore. But love will abide forever. The Apostle Paul says, this is a faithful saying. And these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Let me get you to stand. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the ability that you give us to trust in you, to place our faith in you. And Father, we pray that what would spill out of that trust, that would spill out of the faith and the hope that we have in you, would be that others would be touched, that others would come to know you, that others would place their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that others would have a relationship like no other. Father, I pray that you would continue to use us in the way of your regenerating work to others. And Father, I pray that we would be reminded constantly that those unbelievers are looking at us. Father, that we would be subject to you by being subject to others, to be in peace with others, and to realize where you have brought us. You may be here this morning, and there's an area of your life that God is trying to move you to. You have yet to move. God is drawing you to a specific command that you need to obey. But in order to obey, you first have to trust. So let me ask you this morning, will you trust Jesus? Where is it that he's trying to take you in this hour? Will you trust in him? I don't know what he's calling you to do. I don't know how he's impressing your heart, but I do know this, you can trust Him in this second. It may be a ministry that He's leading you to do. It may be a person that He wants you to go talk to. You may need to be saved. You may be saved, but you need to follow through in baptism. Whatever it is, will you trust Jesus this morning? Amen. Brother Larry, can I get you to dismiss us in prayer, please, sir?